Last time I spoke in front of people, it was at a wedding, and the guy I was the best man for was the best man at my wedding, and he gave this wonderful grand speech, and I was so nervous about it that I actually forgot to do the toast at the end of the speech. I don't take it as you may. Also, there seems to be a recovering Baptist theme here as well. Although I have learned the wisdom, as you have probably, from that there are some wonderful people, including my parents, who still go to a Baptist church. I've always been someone who, by the way, my name is Eric Karlosky. Jack asked me as he was passing me by in the hallway, so it wasn't as formal as a phone call. And my song, I was actually going to do one of the ones in the hymn book that had Dutch in it, just to feel a part of everybody, but I decided not to, because the thought of Dutch just terrifies me. To many people, I am someone who likes to shock people with both what I say and how I say it. So a number of months ago, I was here, and I dressed up in a monk robe, and I had my bald head with a brim of hair, and I taught sixth graders about the Evagrius of Ponticus and the eight evil thoughts. And they actually wanted to learn about that. In fact, when I was in seminary, the guy who married my wife and I, when I first met him, he was in a group of people. And what you normally do in seminary is you disagree with people. And so I went over to him, and it was kind of a thing that I did where I would just automatically say, "I disagree with that," without even knowing what they were talking about. And I think I said something like, "Oh, bull crap." And he looked at me, and we became really good friends after that. So I think my wife calls this the spiritual gift of tactlessness. And maybe if you want to put that in a positive light, I call it a gift of being a destabilizer, as Walter Brueggemann says, or being a prophet. So there's a little bit of my Old Testament masters coming out. But when I was thinking about this question, what does the resurrection mean to me? My initial thought was, it's a bullcrap question. And I thought a little bit about it, and my wife is now doing this. And I know that's not what the person who asked me or I know the intention was the right question, and the more I thought about it, I'm still kind of under that idea. But let me explain why a little bit. I always speak like this. My gift of tactlessness, it's always out of love. And people that know me think there's a little bit of a hard shell around me, but I'm kind of jelly and goo, and I cry almost in any situation. So let me try to explain that a little bit. My life does not need the resurrection as some sort of tool for making meaning, something to use for my personal happiness. And the people who are, the idea that, the initial thought that I had when somebody said, "What does the resurrection mean to me?" I thought about how does it feel to me? What is it, is it my choice to go to church? Is it my choice to believe in the resurrection? No, the resurrection is my meaning. And it's the ground of my existence. It is my utter foundation, without which I, in fact, have no real meaning. As with all the saints in this room, this church, this city, this country, and this world, we live in a continual day-to-day life out of the book of the Acts of the Apostles. And with those apostles, we are witnesses to the resurrection. And as witnesses to the resurrection, we are also partners to the biblical witness. One of the people who has clothed me after seminary and in seminary was the life and the writings of William Stringfellow. And Stringfellow wrote a lot about the resurrection. And he was a lay theologian, but mainly a lawyer, although he would hate you calling him lawyer. And Stringfellow said that, and I quote, "The biblical witness is always a witness of resistance to the status quo in politics, economics, and all society. It is a witness of resurrection from death. Paradoxically, those who embark on the biblical witness consistently risk death through execution, exile, imprisonment, persecution, defamation, or harassment, at the behest of the rulers of this age. Yet those who do not resist the rulers of this present darkness are consigned to a mortal death, the death of their humanness. That, of all the ways of dying, is the most ignominious." Someone who was commenting on this said that the books of William Stringfellow often are more immediate than their theoretical triangulation. And I'm often accused of people saying to me, what does that mean practically? Because I'm always kind of up here in my head. And what he means by that is most of the chapters in Stringfellow's works they follow a common course from death to hell to resurrection. These books are little events, he says, little rituals, not permitting what is said to weigh down the celebration of saying it. When I lived in India with my wife, I came back with a profound sense of what does it mean for me as a Christian to live in America and look different as a Christian than the rest of this country. And going back to my Baptist upbringing, it was all about what you did externally that kind of told who you were as a Christian. And so I tried to distance myself from the idea that it's not just what we do, but it also is what we believe and that sort of thing. But it still kept on coming back to me. What does a Christian community look like? What does a church look like? And that's where Stringfellow made this daring claim that theology is politics. And we worship a king, and he is sovereign. And this king is in opposition to all the other kings, which is a very political statement. And then I thought about a little bit of the metaphors used in the Old Testament for these metaphors of Egypt and Babylon and the Israelites coming out of Egypt and being in Babylon and what that looked like. These lives of exile and imprisonment and persecution and defamation and harassment. Even when we left our slavery, which was our life of sin, and Christ grabbed a hold of us and promised us this land which was not ruled by death. Just like the Israelites, we still want to go back to that. And so this past life of before Christ, this life of the flesh that Paul says, and what does this life look like in light of the resurrection, in light of our new reality in Christ? Even when we left slavery for a land promised to us by God, a land not ruled by the power of death, we often long to return to this land, what Stringfellow meant by the status quo in politics, economics, and society. For us, the resurrection for me is not about making Christian music, for I actually don't think there is Christian music. There is Christians making music, and it's not about being a Christian economist and a Christian worker at a nonprofit organization. I do all these things out of the reality of the resurrection because I, as a Christian, and the saints as Christians, do not live under the tyrannical power of death in this world. We are witnesses to this resurrection. We are all the body of Christ, the church, who has died with Christ and rose with him. I pray that our lives, our little events, our little rituals do not prohibit what is said to weigh down the celebration of saying it. What are we saying? That Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Thank you.